And you got a nice long title, Implementation of Genetic, Genomic, and Marker-Assisted Selection in Improving Winter Wheat Insights from University of Nebraska Lincoln Breeding Program. So you're going to talk about it all, right?
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to thank Todd for giving me the opportunity to present in this session, and I would like to thank you all for coming to the last session. What I would like to do today is to share with you our efforts to integrate genomic and marker-assisted selection in the Nebraska Wheat Breeding Program. I would like to begin by mentioning the take-home points. This is something that I would like to convey from this presentation. As many of you are aware, plant breeding is a slow and methodical process, and it takes nearly 12 years to develop and release a wheat cultivar. This breeding process can be made more precise and faster by integrating genomics-assisted breeding. Some of the newer recent genotyping methods, such as GPS, can rapidly generate large number of markers for marker trait analysis. And we have noticed adjusting for spatial variations, especially in early generation or augmented trials, can provide better estimates of the phenotypic data. Performing marker-assisted selection for traits with well-known large effect loci can assist during selections. And genomic selections performed on yield has increased the accuracy of selection decisions in the breeding program, has helped us pick elite lines a year or two sooner and resettle them back to the crossing block. And it's pretty much the only hope to recover lines during an unexpected weather change such as a hail event. The Nebraska Wheat Breeding Program is led by Dr. Steven Benziger. In a very simple manner, this is the outline of the program. It begins with making a large number of crosses, followed by seed increase, and then the early generation trials, which are mostly conducted at single location. They are unreplicated trials and hence are prone to extreme weather changes. The next set of trials is the preliminary yield testing trial. It's conducted at 8 to 10 locations in Nebraska, mostly one rep, and they are augmented trials. The next set of trials are the robust yield trials, as well as the testing done at regional nurseries. These are multiple location trials, and the lines can be retained in the same nursery for multiple years. The experimental design is alpha lattice, and these are heavily replicated trials, usually 2 to 4 replicates. So there are about 45,000 lines in the hedgerows, of which about 2,000 are selected for the observation plots. These are the F3-5. And then the 270 of those move on to the F3-6 trials, which is the preliminary yield testing trial. Okay. About 60 lines are tested in the advanced trials. And if all goes well and strong luck favors Steve, there may be a line that's found that's suitable for release. Starting from 2012, the F3-6 nursery, which has about 270 lines, has been genotyped by GBS from 2012 to 2015. And starting from last year, we are now genotyping F3-5s, which has about 2,000 lines. And this is the stage where we are trying to integrate MAS and GS in the breeding program. I would now like to share with you an overview of how we do things with the genomics-assisted breeding. The GBS work is done at Kansas State in Desi Poland's lab, and we receive the FASTQ files, and these are stored on our clusters with proper documentation. The SNP calling is then performed by using the TASL GBS pipeline. And so far, we have genotyped nearly 5,500 lines and identified about more than 100,000 high-quality SNP markers. The phenotypic data analysis is done using ASMLR. So once we have the SNP data and the phenotype data, we then perform the marker rate analysis, which is mostly GWAS and genomic selection. We then use this to assist with the selections in the breeding program. Let me now walk you through some of the key learning and observations from our work that's done so far. So GBS has provided us a large number of SNPs for marker rate analyses. What I've shown here in the plot is the distribution of wheat contigs containing SNPs along each of the chromosomes. And we roughly had about 26,000 SNPs until last year to do genomic selection. And starting this year, we have more than 95,000 high-quality SNPs to do the analysis. So next is the phenotypic data analysis. So we test several mixed models at every location, and these mixed models either correct for experimental design or spatial corrections or both. Okay. What I've shown here in the table is the sort of spatial adjustment that was required to get better estimates of the phenotypic data for grain yield in 2015 at the different locations where the nursery was grown. And you can notice here that it was important to adjust for correlation along both rows and columns at Mead. At Lincoln, Nebraska, adjusting for correlation along the column. The same was true for Clay Center, and similarly for the other locations. So the take-home message here is that the same model does not provide good estimates at every single location. So we calculate block values separately for every trial conducted in different locations. And then we also calculate averages across locations in the same year. And what I'll share with you today is the results from the averages, but I'll be happy to take questions on G by E models as well. So this is the workflow of marker-assisted selection. So each year, the F36 nursery, which is the preliminary yield testing nursery, which has 270 lines, is genotyped by known DNA markers for agronomically important traits at the USDA Genotyping Center in Manhattan, Kansas. So we then receive, once we receive the data, we try to identify GBS-derived SNPs that are in LD with these known markers. And if you recollect that we had a few years where there was overlap between the GBS done for the F36 trials, and then we moved on to the F35s. So by doing work on the F36, we can derive information of the F35s, so transfer information from one nursery to another. So let me now give you an example where the use of mass was critical in the breeding program. In 2015, we received a lot of rain during flowering as well as harvest. This resulted in heavy, intense disease pressure, which pretty much destroyed the quality of the seeds of the F35 trials, which had more than 2,000 lines in it. The lines could not be sent to the quality lab for quality analysis. We had to pretty much rely on markers to make selections and advance lines to the F36 nursery, which has about 270 lines. We now pretty much routinely employ markers for nearly 9 traits. These include viral, fungal, anatomy and morphology, and quality-related traits. The last part of my talk, I would like to focus on the use of genomic selection. For people who are not familiar with GS, okay, this is a two-step process. In the first step, there's a training population which is genotyped and phenotyped. The second step is where a test population is only genotyped, and then the marker effects that are estimated using the training data sets are used to predict the phenotype of the test population. So this is the most important slide of my presentation that changed a lot of things that the way we did work in the breeding program. What I've shown here in the plot is the predictions made on 2012 F36 lines for grain yield using data from 2013, 14, and 15 as training population. And you might imagine that why would we want to predict something that's in the past, but the answer would be there in a minute. Okay, the y-axis here is the genomic estimated breeding value. The x-axis has the observed phenotypic values. And you can see the prediction ability was about 0.216. The vertical lines represent the mean observed value as well as the mean of the entries or lines that were selected for the next nursery. The horizontal axis is the mean genomic estimated breeding value and the 75 percentile of the genomic estimated breeding value. What I've also highlighted here is the lines that were selected and advanced primarily based on phenotype. So the lines that are highlighted in red circles are lines that were grown just for 1 year. They were retained for only 1 year in the breeding program. The lines in light green triangles here are the ones that made it to the second year, so they were retained for 2 years. The ones that are in the green square, these are lines that were retained for 3 years. The plus mark lines, there are about 6 of them. These were retained for 4 years. And then there are two lines that are remaining in the breeding program even after 5 years. Not sure if anyone here can see a pattern that we observed here. Okay, if you notice that with each year, the lines that had high GBV or above average GBV, as well as above average BLUP values, those that are in this quadrant, are being retained for longer times in the breeding program. So this was true when we tested it in other years as well. So these are predictions on 2013, 2014, 2015, using data from the other years. So it was pretty clear at this point that lines with above average GBV and BLUP are being retained for longer times in the breeding program. This is excellent, but how do we use it in the breeding program? So I'd like to show you three examples of how we are using this result. This plot shows the predictions made on the 2016 nursery that was grown this year using data from 2012 to 15, and this is again for grain yield. The prediction ability was about 0.373. So this year we started off with selecting 80 lines from this quadrant, so we have about 80 lines, and then we added information from marker-assisted selection for the known traits, then some of the traits that Steve likes to look at for the traits that are collected in the field, the phenotypic data. And then we shortlisted about 57 lines. These 57 lines make it to the next nursery. So we hope that we have improved the accuracy of making selections. Similarly, we picked about 7 lines and moved them back to the crossing block. So usually this was done in the past at F7 and F8 stages. So by doing it, by moving lines from F3-6, so we are saving a year or two in the breeding program. So this year we had a hailstorm that pretty much damaged half of the F3-5 nursery, and this has about 2,000 lines, so more than 1,000 plots were damaged. So there was no way to record phenotypic data and recover the lines from those trials. So you can see the ranks here shown based on GBV and ranks based on the observed phenotype data. There is significant difference between them. So using genomic selection, we were able to recover about 61 lines and then move them or advance them to the F3-6 nursery. So the take-home points, it's GS and MAS are now the integral part of Nebraska wheat breeding program. The genotype by sequencing has provided us more than 100,000 high-quality SNPs for most of our analyses. Adjusting for spatial variation has been absolutely critical for early generation trials to get better estimates for the phenotypic data. Using marker-assisted selection for traits with well-known locus has been really helpful. And then selecting lines with above average GBV and BLUP has increased the accuracy of selection decisions, picked elite lines sooner, and helped us recover lines during an unexpected weather change. I'm currently working on genomic selection for quality traits and trying to incorporate G by E in the genomic selection models. With that, I would like to thank Steve for giving me the opportunity to work on this project and also for his time and the critical discussions that we have had. I would like to thank all the contributions of the co-authors and the members of the laboratory for giving me a good work environment. Thank you all, and I'll be happy to take any questions. Thousand crosses here, that's right.
Yeah,
sure, absolutely. So that's the first one, I'm sorry. Okay.
So that means the second year, let's take it, and that means 1,000 plants now have two correlations for each cross or a total from 1,000 crosses.
Yeah, the number is, the second year is from the 1,000 cross, the seeds from the 1,000 cross. 1,000 crosses.
That means yours is a very high pressure selection.
In the first year, no. There is no selections at that stage. That's the first generation that the crosses are made and the seeds are selected.
That means one cross, one seed.
It's all of the seed. That's like a family. Those are 1,000 families. Is that correct? So you have... So if I understand your question, so we start with 1,000 crosses and they're not all the same. So there are just a few parents and we make 1,000 crosses, get all of the seeds. There's no selection done at that stage. It's grown and then it's sent to another location where there's an increase of seeds that's done. It comes back to Lincoln and it's grown for the first time in the F3 generation. That's where the heads are picked. If I understand this correctly, this is something that Steve would be very familiar with. My understanding is there's no selection that is made at that generation and all of the seeds are grown. There's no selections made.
1,000 crosses, and then F2 is 1,000 lines, or 1,000 times from the 1,000 crosses.
That's not how it is done. My understanding is all of the seeds are planted. Okay. That's all. It's not single seed descent.
It's a modified bulk.
Sure.
So actually, F2 is the same as the I understand is you made 1,000 crosses each year, and then you got all the seeds for next year, next season, and they get 1,000 F2 population. And then next year, this
Say that again, I'm sorry.
You just made only once single plant selection in F3.
Single head selection?
Yes,
absolutely. That's
so,
right.
And then,
right.
For all the generation later, you just fork.
Yes.
It's correct.
That's
so,
right.
My concern is about the uniformity of the farmers because you just select in F3 generation and actually.
We agree, that is absolutely right. And I do see that even at the... So this is the breeding program that's going on from almost last 30, 40 years. Okay, Steve is the lead of the program. He does it. I agree with you that we do see differences among the lines because it's bulked. And we see it apparently when we are doing the mapping populations, QTL mapping. We do see that, yes. If it's possible to do double haploids, maybe it was that we could avoid some of that. But this is what is done right now in the breeding program, and it's led by Steve. It's going on from last many years. It's not my breeding program. Okay, good.
Two quick questions.
Sure. Those are very good questions. Okay. So at the F3-6 stage when we analyze the data for each location separately, and if something has gone wrong in that location, I don't take it in the analysis. Okay. So if it's high, usually check for high coefficient of variation. Okay. Heritability values, if they're really bad, then they don't go in. So we've done analysis using, it's not just pooling everything, but pooling everything that is good. Okay, that is one way of doing it. We've also done using locations separately, G by E analysis, but I haven't shown the results here. Your second question was
the size of the training population.
Yes. So the size of the training population for the predictions each year. If the F3-6 nursery has 270 lines. Okay, so about 1,100 lines in total were there to predict this year. So that was the F3-6 lines. And if I added F3-5 lines, which I don't usually add because those are under-applicated trials, so about 1,100, and when we add F3-5s, the training size is about 4,000 lines in total. So we do the analysis and then decide between 1,000 and 4,000 lines.